from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded. Coming up on today's show, we are going to recap the Giants' 5-4 extra inning loss to the Atlanta Braves. They lost 3 out of 4 in the series. We're going to run through the game notes, including breaking down the start by Madison Bumgarner, talking about Mack Williamson's 5-strikeout game, and discussing the bullpen a little bit and kind of a questionable matchup decision late in the game that ultimately probably cost the Giants the win. But first, their record with the loss, the Giants fell to 21-28, 10.5 games back of the first place Dodgers in the National League West. The Giants are still in last place. Their run differential fell to minus 52, which is still the second worst in the National League, ahead of only the Miami Marlins. That run differential has a 19-30 expected win-loss record, so they are still outperforming that by 2 wins. So kind of as bad as they've been, you could make an argument that they should be even worse. Right now on the year, they're only 10-15 at home, which is just not getting it done. They are 11-13 on the road, which is an improvement over last year and the year before that, but you've got to do better at home. They're 10-19 against teams that are above 500. So getting into the game notes, the first thing here is that Brandon Crawford was out of the starting lineup with pink eye, so that's a tough thing to see, and he was available as a pinch hitter, but he did not get into the game. Bumgarner looked sharp early on, and really he looked sharp through the entirety of the start. This was looking like a game the Giants were going to win. They had a 2-run lead in the 8th inning. But yeah, Bumgarner's stuff just continues to be much improved over what we saw the last couple of years. His velocity is up. He's getting strikeouts more than he was getting in the last couple of years. That strikeout rate is back around 25%. It had dipped to around 20% the last couple of seasons. He made Freddie Freeman look bad twice in his at-bat in the first inning, which is something that, you know, a lot of people do not do to Freddie Freeman. He usually makes pitchers look bad, but Bumgarner broke him down twice in that first inning. Early in the game, Kevin Pillar came up with a runner on third and no outs. So a situation where you're just trying to, you know, put the ball in play, what have you, and score that run, and he ended up striking out. He swung at several pitches outside the strike zone, so it's just worth reiterating. His, you know, he had that strong couple of weeks offensively right after the Giants acquired him, but since then it's been very much the opposite. He's struggling mightily, and I don't know how much longer they're just going to trot him out there and just give him like everyday at bats as if those 1 or 2 weeks warrant a season's worth of struggling. He swings at more pitches outside the strike zone than anybody else in baseball, and it's not even close. So yeah, he struck out, and then up came Mack Williamson, another guy who's struggling mightily offensively. He took a good swing on a first pitch fastball, but didn't put it in play, only fouled it off. And then he fouled off an 0-2 fastball that was right down the middle. It was a very much a missed spot by the pitcher. He got his 0-2 mistake, but he was super late on it, just barely was able to take it out of the catcher's glove and foul it off. He was then hit by pitch, which must have felt like a break for him, because he looked doomed in that at bat, and you could, you know, it was a foreshadow of the next 5 at bats to come when he struck out 5 times. Donovan Solano came up next, and he had a nice at bat. He fell behind 0-2, but was able to put the ball in play and drive in that run from third. Kevin Gausman was on the mound for the Braves, and he was making batters, especially Buster Posey, look foolish with changeups. He was just throwing changeup after changeup down in the dirt, and Posey was swinging over the top of them. So that's a good pitch for him. And it's reminiscent of a little bit what the Giants are doing. A lot of their pitchers are changing their pitch usages, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later with Tony Watson. But, you know, that's part of the modern game, and the analytics in the modern game is having pitchers utilize their best pitches more often. So that's what we saw from Gausman to great effect against Posey, who also went 0 for 6 in this game. So a rough offensive start for Buster Posey in terms of results so far this year. Bumgarner was looking really good into the middle innings, but Tyler Flowers hit a home run in the top of the fifth that tied the game. Ozzie Albies had previously driven in a run with two outs and runners on first and second. Batting right-handed, Albies is like a total stud, superstar type level offensive player. He struggles a little bit from the left side, but batting right-handed, it's not surprising at all that he was able to come up with a big two-out hit. In the bottom of the fifth, Joe Panik hit a double and Steven Duggar hit a single, all with two outs, so the Giants retook the lead 3-2. And then it was Melanson in the seventh inning after Bumgarner went six strong innings. Mark Melanson with a 3-2 lead in the seventh inning. So that's kind of a new development. He has earned his way back into being a semi-high leverage relief pitcher. I think that's kind of a spot we were seeing going to Reyes Maranta, but instead they went with Mark Melanson in that situation. Donovan Solano made a nice defensive play at shortstop. He has looked good defensively, and that's primarily the reason he's here. And so he showed that yesterday. He made quite a few. He's done nothing but make good defensive plays when called upon in these games since he's been up. Melanson struck out Ronald Acuna to end a 1-2-3-7. So a good job by Mark Melanson. He's continuing to have a very nice rebound season. In the bottom of the seventh, the Braves went with the young, talented lefty Sean Newcomb. And with the pitcher spot due up, Bruce Bochy, as he should, the first guy off the bench against a left-handed pitcher. No, it should not be the switch-hitting Sandoval, who continues to not do well right-handed. It was Tyler Austin, lefty killer, who came off the bench and hit a home run to give the Giants an extra run of cushion and a 4-2 lead. So Austin has just continued to do nothing but destroy left-handed pitching. It's what he's done in his brief career. He hasn't had a ton of at-bats in his major league career, but anytime he's ever played against lefties, he's like never struggled. He's played in parts of, I think, four seasons, and every single year he's done nothing but destroy left-handed pitching. So for his career now, in 184 plate appearances against lefties, he has a .291 average, .370 on base percentage, and .614 slugging percentage. That's just cartoonish numbers, 60% above the league average offensive level of production. He's also walking 11.4% of the time against lefties. He does strike out a little bit, 33%, that's high, but you'll take it with that kind of production in terms of on base and power. So that's looking like a really nice trade for the Giants. The Twins, you know, they have other players like this, so he was expendable to them, but the Giants did not have any players like this, so that was kind of a win-win trade. We'll see what the prospect they gave up turns into, but he was very young. And Tyler Austin is helping them now and is controllable well beyond 2019. Remember, to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya on your app store and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about the fateful eighth inning in which Tony Watson gave up the two-run lead against a bunch of right-handed hitters and a tough right-handed Ozzie Albies. And we're going to recap how the last few innings went and how the Giants lost in the 13th inning. We're also going to discuss the fate of Mack Williamson, so you're not going to want to miss that. But first, we talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BLUECHEW.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, so as promised, we're going to talk about how the Giants weren't able to hold on to this 4-2 lead in the eighth inning. Tony Watson came in, and with Dansby Swanson, Freddie Freeman, Josh Donaldson, Austin Riley, and Ozzie Albies due up in the inning. So the only lefty of the bunch there is Freddie Freeman. Otherwise, it's righty, 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 and then a switch hitter who's way better from the right side. So to me, I get it. Watson is not a guy you're just only letting face lefties, but he does have some discernible splits, and especially this season, he is not looking as sharp at all as he was last year when he was excellent for the Giants. So it's easy to second guess, but at the time, it still seemed like it wasn't exactly questionable because Watson has had a very nice career. He's capable of getting right-handed hitters out, but at the same time, it seemed suboptimal. I guess that's kind of the word that I'm looking for. And the only reason it's Watson there is because of like a defined innings related role as opposed to who's coming up. I have no problem with Will Smith going through a heavy right-handed part of the lineup, but Tony Watson, you know, he's not overpowering at all. So you're just relying on them not putting the ball in play with hard contact. And that ended up being what happened in the inning. Dansby Swanson singled, so right away, trouble. Then it was Freddie Freeman. It makes sense you're going to stick with Watson there. And then he faced Josh Donaldson and struck him out on a changeup. But then Austin Riley, who just has destroyed the Giants in this series, was up, and he hit a homer off of Tony Watson, and it tied the game at 4. They stuck with him against Ozzie Albies, who, again, is so much better from the right side, and Tony Watson was able to get him to ground out. But there's just 2 points to make here. A, talking about Tony Watson got me to look at him closer and his pitch usages, and he is just another guy on the Giants who has had a dramatic turnaround in the usage of his pitches. He's throwing his changeup 43% of the time versus a 20% career average. So it just continues to look like the Giants front office and the people they've hired to work with the pitchers are changing the way these guys throw, and that's a good thing because they're undoubtedly doing it for a reason, and that changeup has been a great pitch for Tony Watson. He's throwing his fastball only 47% of the time versus a 66% career average, so just big differences across the board there. But against right-handed hitters the last 3 calendar years, they're hitting .245, .308 on base, .409 slugging. So that's not exactly tearing the cover off the ball, but when you look at how he's done against lefties, you see that there is a big difference. So notice that .409 slugging compared to the .245 average. So that's, again, this stat called isolated power. Slugging minus batting average, that's like .165. But then if you look at how lefties have fared against him in the last 3 calendar years, they're hitting .252 with a .282 on base and a .348 slugging. So the difference between the slugging and the average there is less than 100. So it's a significant difference. Righties are just a bigger threat for power against Tony Watson. Again, they're not like majorly dangerous against him, but there is definitely a difference, and if you just throw up a bunch of some of the better right-handed hitters in the game, it's suboptimal potentially. Like if this is Game 7 of the World Series, and that part of the lineup is coming up, Tony Watson is not the guy you want to go to, given the other options they have in the bullpen, in my opinion. I thought Reyes Maranta made more sense in that position. And, you know, in his career against righties, they have a .161 average, .270 on base, .244 slugging. So those are excellent numbers against righties. He does walk too many guys. Lefties or righties, doesn't matter. His walk rate is just a little bit too high, and that continues to be pretty much the only thing holding him back from being an ace-type reliever. But anyway, it was Watson who gave it up, and the game went to extra innings. Will Smith had a good top of the ninth. what else is new? At one point there, he had 12 consecutive outs recorded via the strikeout. So he's just been on a roll with the strikeout pitch. Sam Dyson and Trevor got through two good innings in extra innings. And Reyes Maranta went two innings, got four strikeouts, but did give up the winning run in the 13th. It was Austin Riley again, who took a really good pitch low and away and just filleted it into right field for the go-ahead RBI hit. So all said, it was a tough loss for the Giants. Madison Bumgarner pitched well enough to lead them to victory, but it wasn't to be. The bullpen, which has been so strong this year, gave one up. There's significant reason to be concerned about Mack Williamson's status on the roster, going 0 for 5 with 5 strikeouts. They'll probably give him one more chance, like, to rebound from this. I'm not sure they want to be overly reactionary and just cut him after an 0 for 5, 5 strikeout day. Definitely could happen, but maybe they'll try to just give him a couple more games to see if he can recover. But he is out of options and can reject an outright assignment to AAA if he clears waivers, if the Giants designate him for assignment. So to me, this will be his last opportunity with the Giants, most likely. Coming up tonight, the Arizona Diamondbacks come into town. Robbie Ray on the mound for the Diamondbacks. He's a really talented left-handed pitcher who gets a lot of strikeouts in his own right. So expect to see Tyler Austin back in there with Robbie Ray on the mound. Drew Pomeranz will start for the Giants. Remember to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. This is a daily show with new episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Kasbick. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to listen and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. We will be back with another episode on Monday. There's a lot to look for in this weekend series. This is a big series for the Giants. I said this homestand was really important, but they lost 3 out of 4 to the Braves at home. So they really need a good series here. Otherwise, their season is slipping away from them. Will Mack Williamson still be on the roster on Monday? I have my doubts. Will Tyler Austin go off again against a lefty? I have some optimism there. So a lot to look for. I cannot wait to be with you again on Monday. And until then, we'll see you next time.